There is a handout that's been passed out here. Should have been passed out also in Spokane. I emailed it out to Lewiston and Kettle Falls. If anybody's listening, Alan was going to post it on our website as well. It's a handout that is part of the notes that I used in a sermon in August a year ago. And the title of the sermon was Children of God. And I went back and I looked at the notes because I had only used a portion of this actual part of the handout, but a section of the notes of the promise. When I gave the sermon, I went down and I selected a few of these and I made reference. So for those of you that at some point want to either go back or those of you might remember that sermon from way back when, I wanted to at least start there. Now, we have a booklet, God's Holy Day Plan, and I took out of that booklet something that I mentioned again in my sermon over a year ago, and it describes the plan of God in the holy days and the connection that is between those portrayals. And I want to read you what it says. It says, "The holy days help us to comprehend the master plan, the very purpose of God, how we truly become his people." And it says, "Notice this description of our destiny. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." Revelation 21, verse 3. And then it says, "Step by step, the holy days show us how this beautiful picture will become a reality." So we say the holy days portray the plan of God, and I believe that is true. And the way that happens is it shows God working through Jesus Christ to fulfill his plan. The holy days are all about God working through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 8:6, all things are of God and all things are through Christ. And so what you see that is God working through Christ to fill out his plan. Now in my sermon last year as well, I read Galatians 3, and so I want to read you that in relationship to what is being referenced here is as our destiny. The promise is our destiny. The destiny we reference on our booklet is that we will be with God himself. That's our destiny. And so that's the promise. Now in reference to that, in the book of Galatians, I want to read you from chapter 3. Eventually I will. What comes after Corinthians? There it is. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to the promise." So the promise says that we are heirs according to the promise. Now, what is it that we are heirs of? Down in verse number, just down below about verse number 7, it says we're an heir of God through Jesus Christ. So, when you're an heir, that means there's an inheritance that is available to you. Now, you can be written out of the will, so to speak, but an heir receives an inheritance. And our heir is going to be of God through Christ, because that's what is being referenced there. Now, that heir, the inheritance, is called the promise. The reason I wanted to hand you out this handout, I didn't make this handout for the sermonette. This is simply out of my own notes that I had on my computer from having prepared the sermon. And if you wonder why it's written out in such a strange form, I'm not going to tell you because, it's just the way I did it. I took out the elements of some of the passages that weren't necessary to the flow of the point, but I wanted to show, if you go to Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and you just keep going to Jeremiah and on to Ezekiel and on and on and on, you're going to see it says the same thing over and over, and so I highlighted the parts of the passage that show the promise. God lists the promise at the beginning, it goes right down, and he confirms it at the end in terms of the scripture, and it's all the way through in the middle, over and over and over again. Now notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the promise is also referenced, because the promise was to those that God was working directly with. And in Hebrews 11, verse 39, there's a list of people who are faithful to God, and it says, all of these different individuals who are righteous, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Now, did they receive God's Holy Spirit? Well, these are the ones that are portrayed as being righteous. They had God's Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit the promise? Well, it's not the fullness of the promise. They didn't receive the promise. Well, does it mean that they obtained a good testimony through faith, didn't receive the promise? Does it mean then that they hadn't been yet resurrected? That's not really the reference to the promise. The promise is Revelation 21. The promise is, I'll be your God and you'll be my people, and then in a more specific way. Now notice in verse number 8, just back up, because it now references the promise and the inheritance in the reference to Abraham himself. The Bible explains the Bible. This is just precisely what it says. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. You remember we were talking about being heirs. Heirs of what? Of an inheritance. The inheritance is the promise. And just read further. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now the promise of the land of Canaan was only a type of the fulfillment of what ultimately would take place. But verse number 10, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What city has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, not built with hands? That's New Jerusalem. So when you see reference to the promise and God saying, I will be your God and you'll be my people, he then goes on and says, and I will dwell in your midst. When does God dwell in the midst of his people according to the promise? When New Jerusalem comes down and God himself is with us. That's what the Bible says, and it refers to it very clearly in various places. Now, Revelation 21, then, going on to where we started, being quoted from our booklet on God's Holy Day Plan, but Revelation 21, verse number 1, says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. Go through the list I've given you when you have time, and it will say, I will be your God and you'll be my people. I will be a father to you. You will be my sons and daughters. I will dwell in your midst. That's the promise. Here's the fulfillment of the promise. Verse 4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. And the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. If you have a red letter Bible, at least the one I have has some red reference in it. Notice this does not have any reference in red. Those red letter references are not inspired. They are certainly the decision of the translator or the publisher or the editor. But this is the Father speaking. It's not even in red by their definition. In my Bible, it's just part of the regular text. And it says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the promise. The promise is not the resurrection. The promise is not the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. The promise is not the forgiveness of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are elements of it. The promise is that God will dwell with his children, that we will be a family, that the family will be together, not broken, not distant, not waiting, but actually in the presence of each other. And the Father will be with his family in the fullest extent. It goes on, it says, it's done. Let me read over verse 6 again. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his God, he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the promise, I will be your God, you will be my children, and I will dwell in your midst. And only when God himself is dwelling in the midst of his children will that promise have been fulfilled.